You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you might be. My name is Lance Glenn, and we have some big news to discuss today as the first coaches poll was released just a short time ago. Yes, the first coaches poll is already here, but before we start, I just want to remind everyone to like and subscribe to the new 24/7 Sports YouTube channel. So much great content coming out daily. Trust me, you do not want to miss everything that drops on it. As I mentioned, the first coaches poll was released earlier today, and joining me now to discuss it, 24/7 Sports college football writer Brad Crawford. He comes on now as we discuss the top 25. Brad, first and foremost, how you doing? It's so much fun that we get to hop on here on a Monday and talk about polls, right? Really, to me, signals that the season, frankly, is almost here.
Yeah, good to see you, Lance. Finally, after a 6 or 7 month wait, we have our actual first poll. And this is from 65 FBS head coaches who, you know, have deemed these schools the good, the bad, and the ugly, so to speak. So top 25 teams entering the season, according to coaches, that list is out and we're going to discuss it.
And let's, before we start, just run through quickly the top 25. I want to start with 28. And I know that sounds weird because it's a top 25, but obviously there were three teams or a bunch of teams that received votes. But the three starting with 28, Tennessee's at 28, Penn State 27, Iowa 26. And now as we get into the top 25, it goes Houston. And this is from 25 to 1, as I mentioned. Houston, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Cincinnati, Kentucky, Wisconsin, Wake Forest at 19, Texas at 18, Miami, Pitt, USC at 15, Michigan State, NC State, Oregon, Oklahoma State is at 11. Now rounding out your top 10, you got Baylor at 10, Oklahoma at 9, Utah at 8, Texas A&M at 7, Michigan at 6, Notre Dame at 5, Clemson at 4, Georgia at 3, Ohio State at number 2, and of course number 1 is Alabama. So Brad, to start, I do want to first get your thoughts on the three teams that received the highest amount of votes but did not make the top 25. And as I mentioned before, that's Tennessee at 28, Penn State at 27, and Iowa at 26. And I think, frankly, all three have an argument to be in the top 25. But I want to get your opinion. Are there any of the three, maybe all three, that you think deserve to be in, maybe even over someone else?
Yeah, Tennessee and Iowa, Lance, were my two biggest shocks that they did not make this preseason poll. You know, Tennessee brings back Hendon Hooker, brings back the wealth of talent defensively off a team that went 7-6 in Josh Heupel's first season. And, you know, had Alabama a 7-point game late in that third quarter last year in Tuscaloosa. Tennessee's a team that I think can, you know, challenge for that 9-3 type season this fall and under Josh Heupel. And I'm surprised, frankly, to see Tennessee not one of those 5 or 6 SEC teams, you know, in the mix. And then second's Iowa. You know, the Hawkeyes have a defense that I've projected inside the top 10, you know, in our way too early top defense rankings. And, you know, 8 starters back for the Hawkeyes on that side of the football. And this is a team, Lance, that had 31 takeaways last season, including a college football high 25 interceptions. So for Iowa, with that elite defense coming into August, not to make the coaches poll, I'm quite surprised.
Yeah, and we know just how great Iowa's defense could be. Of course, obviously, everyone has questions regarding Iowa's offense. And for Tennessee, we obviously know how good their offense could be under Josh Heupel. Hendon Hooker, obviously, a quarterback, all the close games they were in, and a lot of expectations entering year 2 for Heupel. So I want to take a look at the coaches poll. And I think the biggest shocker to everyone, or at least to me, was sitting at number 18. It wasn't the fact that Texas was at number 18. It was the fact that Texas actually received a first place vote. Now, I don't know who the coach was. I don't know if it will come out as to which coach did named Texas number one. But I'd love to get your thoughts on that first and foremost, because again, the 18 rank doesn't surprise me. It's that number one right there that's highlighted on screen that really just kind of makes me say, what?
I would love to see Steve Sarkisian's ballot, that's for sure. I mean, Texas has that one vote. I mean, it had to come from Steve or you know, someone in that Big 12 conference. Look, Texas is going to be loaded on offense. We know what they were able to do in the transfer portal, getting Quinn Ewers, one of our top quarterbacks according to our 24/7 sports rankings. Obviously, Xavier Worthy coming back on the outside at receiver. They got Isaiah Neyor, another transfer. And then Bijan Robinson, a guy who is probably the dope walker, you know, front runner to open the season. So Texas at 18 was not all that surprising, but getting that number one vote definitely was, considering the Texas O-line last year, Lance, was one of the worst in college football. You know, it was a swinging gate there at times, and Texas did finish with five wins. So not only are the Longhorns a top 20 team, according to coaches, but one of those sideline leaders also had a first place vote.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, again, we know Texas coming off a 5-7 season. They need to do better here in Steve Sarkisian's second year. And of course, a loaded skill position, a loaded offense, really, with some of the guys you mentioned, Quinn Ewers now at quarterback, or the battle between Quinn Ewers and Hudson Card, at least ongoing. Another team I want to talk about is USC at 15. And again, a new coach with Lincoln Riley, obviously, brought in a lot of pieces. We know that. One of the top transfer classes, according to 24/7 Sports transfer rankings. The highlight, obviously, being Caleb Williams at quarterback. They sit at number 15. A lot of expectations early for Lincoln Riley's time in Los Angeles. I'd love to get your thoughts on them at 15 and whether or not you think they should be higher, maybe even a little bit lower, or are they good where they are?
Yeah, I thought USC had a chance in this coaches poll to be ranked as the second best Pac-12 team, you know, coming into the season behind Utah and right ahead of Oregon. That's where I'd probably put the Trojans right now. You know, based on that, let's go ahead and call it a roster overhaul from Lincoln Riley this offseason. You know, getting Jordan Addison out of the portal was huge. Obviously, Caleb Williams coaxing him to come from Oklahoma to join the ranks in L.A. That's huge for USC. And this team was not very good on either side of the ball at times last fall. And now you're looking at a team, Lance, that is probably going to have a top five offense if Caleb Williams stays healthy. Obviously, they have some talented receivers and a really good running back who's going to start there for Lincoln Riley. So USC at 15 was not all that a surprise, but I am a little shocked that Oregon came in a few spots ahead of Trojans in that race for the Pac-12 title. Utah right now, in my opinion, of those three Pac-12 teams, is the only one worthy of preseason top 10 consideration.
And of course, we want to remind you to like and subscribe to the new 24/7 Sports YouTube page. So much content dropping on it. Another team, Brad, I want to talk about, a team in your neck of the woods, and that's NC State. And I really like NC State. I talked to Corey Smith on the 24/7 Sports College Football Daily, which you can find on the 24/7 Sports YouTube page, as well as wherever you get your podcasts. So make sure to go listen to that. And I'm very high on the Wolfpack. I think Dave Doran has done a great job of building talent and depth on that roster. I love Devin Leary. He's a Jersey guy. He's from South Jersey. I'm also a Jersey guy. I'm more Central Jersey, but I gotta root for my guys up here in the Garden State. What do you think about NC State? Obviously, Clemson, we know, is towards the top of the top 25 in the coaches poll, but I really like what the Wolfpack are doing. I really like where the Wolfpack sit, and I think they could very well challenge Clemson for the ACC this coming season.
There's a lot of preseason love right now for the Pack, and rightfully so. You know, you bring back 17 starters off a team that essentially won 10 games last year, and could, you know, including the ACC Player of the Year preseason, Devin Leary at quarterback. Very good player, multi-year starter. This is going to be Dave Doran's best team. I would say for those outside of Riley, you know, we're all sort of cautiously optimistic, though, before calling this team a, you know, college football playoff dark horse. I think State's going to be very good defensively. NC State has to go to Clemson, I want to say, in October this year. Clemson has won 34 straight games at home entering the 2022 season. That's the longest streak nationally. You know, and that's it's almost impossible to win in Death Valley. And we've seen ACC go, you know, teams go there and really struggle. So it's a team that, you know, a few years ago went to Death Valley Memorial Stadium, lost by a field goal to Clemson, and then was able to return the favor and beat Clemson last season. Part of the reason why Wake Forest was able to win that Atlantic. So, you know, Wake Forest, Clemson, NC State, that's a cream of the crop at the top of the Atlantic. And really a underrated league this season in the ACC with, I think it's four preseason top 25 teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, remember to send in your questions as well. We'd love to answer them. If you have any questions or want our thoughts on this top 25 in the coaches poll. And before we get to any questions, there is a trio at 9, 10, and 11 from the Big 12. One team obviously leaving the Big 12 soon in Oklahoma, but the other two currently staying. That's Oklahoma at 9, Baylor at 10, and Oklahoma State at 11. Just give me your thoughts on those three right there. Obviously a new coach in Brent Venables for the Sooners, but he brought in a lot from the transfer portal. They lost a lot, obviously, when Lincoln Riley left. He brought in a lot, new quarterback in Dylan Gabriel. Love to hear your thoughts on the Sooners, the Bears, and the Pokes at 9, 10, and 11.
Yeah, let's just call this the Big 12 trio, right? Oklahoma at 9, Baylor at 10, defending conference champions, and Oklahoma State, Cowboys team that lost by 1 yard last season in Baylor, you know, to that Big 12 championship game. So Oklahoma State's a team, however, I think is overrated a bit at number 11. You know, losing Jim Knowles to Ohio State, that was a huge gut punch for Mike Gundy, you know, considering how good that Cowboys defense was last season. I mean, really a top 10 defense across the board in scoring defense, total defense. You know, Derek Mason's a very good coordinator. You know, he came over from Auburn. He's going to kind of inherit, you know, some returning starters there and try to make the Oklahoma State defense kind of the calling card again. But I think for the Cowboys to be successful and to win, you know, 10, 11 games again comes down to that defense, as I said, and Spencer Sanders, a three-year starter at quarterback who is going to have more starts in Big 12 play than any quarterback nationally by the end of this year. So Oklahoma State's a team at 11 right now that I tend to have more questions with than Baylor and OU. But getting back to OU, you know, losing a assistant coach last night, wide receivers coach, you know, stepped down. Brent Venables has his work cut out for him. You know, I think getting Jeff Lebby from Ole Miss to call plays and sort of instruct Dylan Gabriel, a quarterback that he's familiar with, you know, during those two times together at UCF, Oklahoma's going to have a high-powered offense, but, you know, that bread is going to be buttered on defense in Norman. That's where Brent Venables has earned his paycheck the last 10 or so years under Dabo Swinney. And if OU is a dark horse playoff contender out of that trio, I think it'll be because they can score points and also stop the opposition.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we have, as we move forward in the top 10, as I said before, you have Oklahoma, well, you're Baylor at 10, Oklahoma at 9, Utah 8, Texas A&M 7, Michigan 6, Notre Dame 5, Clemson 4, Georgia 3, Ohio State 2, and Alabama 1. Now, regarding those top three, they're the top three that everyone sort of expected to see. Obviously, the defending national champions at 3, Alabama, the defending runner-ups at number 1, and Ohio State sandwiched in the middle. Did that shock you at all? Can we just get that out of the way? That's pretty much who you thought you'd see right there. Maybe the order is changed a little bit, but those top three, pretty much exactly what we thought.
That's pretty much all chalk, Lance. Yeah, I mean, for the last 6 months now, we've projected preseason rankings seemingly twice a month, you know, since pretty much spring practice. And those three teams, Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, have been 1, 2, 3 in essentially every ranking. You know, Bama brings back arguably the two best players in college football, and Bryce Young, the reigning Heisman winner, and Will Anderson, a edge rusher that I consider, you know, to be the top player overall in the sport. You know, 17 and a half sacks last year, over 30 tackles for loss. You know, paired with Dallas Turner, Bama's going to have two of the best edge slash linebacker types in college football. But Ohio State's a team that, even at number 2, I think might be slightly undervalued. Ohio State's offense is going to be one of the most potent units nationally. I think Ryan Day knows that this is his best team. And that acquisition of Jim Knowles from Oklahoma State, as we mentioned, is going to, you know, expand and improve that defense light years in Columbus. And really, you know, it's going to help that team beat Michigan in November. I'll go ahead and label a early prediction now. Line of scrimmage game in Columbus, and Jim Knowles is going to be there for it.
Oh, a nice early prediction as we sit a couple months out from the game. But I like it, Brad. I like, of course, that Ohio State team. I mean, what is there to say about that offense? C.J. Stroud, Travion Henderson, Jackson Smith and Jigba, you know, up-and-coming receivers Marvin Harrison, Emeka Egbuka, Julian Fleming. I mean, that offense is loaded, and Ohio State definitely could challenge Alabama for that number one spot as the season goes on, for sure. And we have our first question. It comes from Trey Scott, Trey, who many of you know, one of our great colleagues here at 24/7 Sports. He asked, which coach voted Texas number one, and why is it Nick Saban now? I think this is an ode to the fact that Alabama and Texas play very early, And yeah. Nick Saban may be trying to rile up his team, get a little bit of a
as if Alabama needed any bulletin
exactly.
board material.
Bulletin board. Thank you for the words. Bulletin board material.
Heading into Austin. Yes. Bama does not need bulletin board material heading into Austin. They're going to be a 16 to 17 point favorite in that game. Quinn Ewers' first career start against a team of relative substance. I mean, it's going to be a tough game for Texas. Obviously, I was telling some colleagues this week, Lance, that this is Bama's toughest road schedule in really 5 or 6 years under Nick Saban. And Texas is a game that I don't consider to be one of those toughest road games. So September should be somewhat of a cruise for Alabama. But if that was Nick Saban and that comes out, that'd be hilarious start here in August.
It would be. And hey, maybe you are providing Steve Sarkisian in Texas with some bulletin board material with what you're saying. But yeah, I mean, that was, again, Texas getting a number one vote. They sit currently at 18th, but that was, I think, the biggest shocker of this first coaches poll. This next one, comes from David Gibson. Thoughts on what Cincinnati will look like with the new faces? Obviously, Luke Fickell still there. Cincinnati currently sitting at number 22, made the college football playoff, obviously, a year ago in losing to Alabama in the semifinal. But what are your thoughts on Cincinnati, Brad? And what do you think they'll look like with, obviously, a lot of changes on that roster?
Yeah, the Bearcats are a borderline top 25 team in my own poll. Nine draft picks. And look, eight of those guys last year, who were picked this spring were three stars or lower. So that proves Luke Fickell is one of the best coaches in college football in terms of developing talent. Cincinnati is a team I think is going to challenge Houston, the top of that AAC, a very underrated conference from top to bottom. And Cincinnati is a team that, look, back-to-back undefeated regular seasons. Cincinnati's two losses since the start of the 2020 season have come against Georgia and Alabama. What other college football program can say that? So Luke Fickell's doing an outstanding job there. I do think in the future, Cincinnati is going to get more love nationally among, coaches and media members joining the Big 12 conference. That's going to kind of widen Cincinnati's recruiting footprint, so to speak. And it's going to be very important, I think, for Cincinnati, to open that season against Arkansas with a stellar showing.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yeah, absolutely. A big game for the Bearcats against Arkansas. Big game for both programs, really, as Sam Pittman looks to get another year off to a big start for the Hogs. This is a Texas fan responding, Ed Blake responding to Texas getting a number one vote. He says, I'm a Texas fan, but no, don't deserve a number one vote. I think a lot of us agree with you, Ed. But again, it was very shocking. Who knows? Maybe it is Nick Saban. Maybe Trey is right. It's Nick Saban and he's just looking for that bulletin board material. But nevertheless, Texas got that number. I think there's always high expectations, right? Regardless of what the season at Texas was previous. And obviously 5-7, not the season they wanted in Steve Sarkisian's first year, but the expectations, especially with what they brought in on offense and in the transfer portal, they're going to be high. And with just Quinn Ewers alone, when you bring in a quarterback of his caliber, obviously the number one player in the 2022 class, reclassified now, the number one player in the 2021 class. I mean, when you bring in a player of his caliber, I mean, expectations are just going to shoot up. And Texas certainly has high ones going into the season.
But to win big in college football, you have to be elite at the line of scrimmage. And that's been one of the Longhorns' biggest issues the last couple of years. You know, can they protect Quinn Ewers? Can they get pressure on a lot of these top end, you know, Big 12 opposing quarterbacks? You know, Bryce Young comes in there, you know, a couple of weeks into the season and can score 50 on Texas if the Longhorns aren't able to pressure him, harass him around the pocket, force him out. And look, that front seven for Steve Sarkisian has to stop Jahmyr Gibbs as well. And that's probably going to be his breakout, you know, coming out party nationally. You know, the former Georgia Tech ball carrier now at Bama, one of the Tide's best additions in that portal. So Texas is a team that, you know, certainly can be back if the Longhorns can finish in that 9 or 10 win realm. But against Alabama, man, early on, it probably ain't happening.
Yeah, it's going to be tough against Alabama for sure. And you mentioned the offensive line or just the line of scrimmages for Texas, obviously. And we know how good that offensive line haul was in the 2022 class. So I'm sure Texas fans hoping that the offensive line recruiting from Steve Sarkisian and Kyle Flood really help vault the program upwards. Another question coming in from Tyler Chambers. Who do you think could be the biggest riser from the bottom or other portions of this poll? I'll give mine. I really like Miami. They currently sit at number 17. I really like Tyler Van Dyke. I'm a Giants fan. Full disclosure, and if Daniel Jones, isn't the answer and the Giants don't have an early enough pick to take a guy like CJ Stroud or Bryce Young, I'd love if they got a Tyler Van Dyke. So they're my, and I just think Mario Cristobal, his presence there is going to make the team overall better. So I'm going to choose Miami. It wouldn't shock me if they move up spots as the season goes on. But Brett, who do you think could be the biggest riser from the bottom or just anywhere else in the poll?
Yeah, I'm going to give you two SEC teams in the high 20s, I think, can win 9 or 10 games this season. Kentucky at number 21, I think the Wildcats are underrated. Look, I mean, Mark Stoops, he's won 10 games twice in the last 4 years, has a top-end quarterback that most of us, you know, recruiting and NFL draft types consider to be a top 10, you know, player next spring in Will Levis. Taught him at SEC Media Days. Very, very confident player, former transfer from Penn State. Had his first year as a starter last year. Obviously has some things to develop as a passer, but, you know, he's a team leader. You know Kentucky's going to be good in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And then Arkansas at number 23. I was one of the few media types that, you know, took Arkansas to finish second in the SEC West this season behind Alabama and ahead of A&M. I'm a firm believer in KJ Jefferson, five-star Bama transfer, Drew Sanders, you know, huge addition for that Barry Odom coach defense in Fayetteville. You know, he's going to play some linebacker there. And Arkansas is a team that has kind of that ground and pound approach. They also landed two wide receivers, which, you know, in that RPO, Kendall Briers type offense, a lot of play action for Jefferson. I think Arkansas can make plays. So 9 or 10 wins, I'd take the over right now for Kentucky and Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Two good choices. Brad, before we move on to more questions, I do want to kind of get your thoughts on Clemson, right? So I mentioned the top three of Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia in that order. Clemson currently sits at number 4, and obviously all eyes are on DJ, right? Can he bounce back? Can he perform to the level we thought he would last year, but now obviously in his second year as the full-time starter? And that's really, you know, where the onus is going to be on for Clemson. They have obviously Cade Klubnik, who a lot of people think, you know, if DJ were to struggle, could be someone that Dabo Swinney puts in there to get some time and see if he can kind of kickstart the offense. But Clemson at number 4, they could stay at that ranking and we could for sure see them in the college football playoff at year's end. But again, it really comes down to DJ. If he struggles, if he's not the guy that we thought he was going to be before last season, then Clemson might be in for another tough year. And in Clemson terms, look, they won 10 games and everyone's like, oh, Clemson, tough year. But if DJ struggles once more, we know how good that defense and that defensive line is going to be, but if DJ struggles and that offense can't get the ball moving, then Clemson could be in for another tough year and another year outside of the playoff picture.
I was going to say, to me, DJ Uiagalelei does not have to be elite for Clemson to win the ACC and make the playoff. However, winning a semifinal game against a Bama, a Georgia, an Ohio State, you know, that's going to have to be top-notch quarterback play, something that DJU has not shown in a little over a year. You know, we can't see the production level of a 1-to-1 interception to touchdown ratio happen again for the Tigers if they want to get from that, you know, 10-2 stance of possible ACC champ to that, you know, 12-0, 13-1 type scenario where, you know, we've seen Dabo before. But I think this Clemson team is very motivated. You know, you've mentioned how good that defense is going to be, even without Brent Venables. You know, I took Clemson, ranked them number two overall defensively, entering the 2022 season behind Alabama. So I think Clemson's going to be able to dominate ACC competition on that side of the ball. But, you know, if DJ throws a ton of interceptions and does not have ball security, that could be an issue. And, you know, we saw in two or three ACC losses last season for the Tigers, DJ did not play well. So as you mentioned, DJ has to play, you know, above average for Clemson to kind of enter that upper echelon of teams.
Yeah, like how you put it, he doesn't have to be a superstar. He doesn't have to be a lead, but he has to be better than what he was. You know, he has to be a above average to even better quarterback, but not towards that Bryce Young, CJ Stroud range. Clemson doesn't need that in order to win the ACC. Another question coming in from Dominate. Love the Twitter handle. Should we get used to Alabama being number one the entire year? The top three feels like it could be set in stone this year, barring craziness. I think we pretty much should. I really do. I think the top three is the top three. I, making predictions, don't see anyone beating Ohio State. I don't see anyone beating Alabama. And frankly, I don't see anyone beating Georgia until Alabama and Georgia most likely meet up in the SEC championship game. So I think the top three is what it is. We may see some movement within the three. You know, maybe Ohio State moves up, maybe an Ohio State moves down and Georgia passes them. But I think the top three is what it is.
I mean, Georgia's going to be one of four or five teams, you know, based on early projections, that's going to be a double-digit favorite in every game this season, including that opener against Oregon, whom I consider to be one of their toughest games. You know, by SEC standards, this slate for Kirby Smart is, you know, national championship worthy. I know the Bulldogs won it last year. They did lose eight starters off a, you know, all-world record-setting defense. But Georgia's a team where I don't see how the Bulldogs can move up from that number three spot, you know, ahead of Ohio State or Bama this fall, unless the Tide or Buckeyes fall. And as I mentioned before, this is one of Alabama's toughest road schedules. I do think Alabama loses a regular season game. And here we are once again, Lance. We're going to see Alabama-Georgia in that SEC championship game, which could be a de facto playoff semifinal unless both those teams come in unbeaten or with one loss. But if both those teams do come into Atlanta 11-1, I don't see a two-loss, you know, Alabama, a two-loss Georgia making a playoff this season. I think Ohio State's that good. The ACC champion, if unbeaten, I think they're in. And if Notre Dame goes 11-1 with the only loss coming in early September against Ohio State, Fighting Irish have a good shot too.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think that we will see two undefeated teams meet up in the SEC title game, Alabama and Georgia. And if that's the case, we could very well see both of them in the playoffs. And you mentioned Notre Dame. If they go 11-1 and their only loss is to Ohio State, could they get in? Well, we have a Notre Dame question. Is Notre Dame ranked too high at number five? And obviously Jack Cohn, no longer the quarterback there. They're still kind of searching for their answer. Who's going to be the guy for game one against Ohio State? But we know all the anticipation with Marcus Freeman coming in, and we know how good their recruiting has been since he got there, but obviously recruits take a little bit take a little while to develop. But this Notre Dame team, really good. Do you think they're ranked too high at five, or do you like where they currently sit?
Yeah, the number five team was always the most debated among, you know, our national analysts on kind of who would get that spot. I thought Texas A&M would have a shot to make the preseason top five, still may in the AP poll among media voters, but you know, A&M's a team that I don't think is quite playoff ready yet. Notre Dame obviously is not under Marcus Freeman. This is more, I think, out of respect for what, you know, Brian Kelly was able to do from a recruiting standpoint as far as building rosters. You know, Notre Dame has a pretty solid two deep, you know, comparatively to other programs on that schedule. I think Notre Dame essentially out-talents every team on its schedule this season besides Ohio State and Clemson. Notre Dame hosts Clemson in November in South Bend. Very big game with Final Four implications there. But I don't have any issue with Notre Dame at five because I think there's, you know, a four or five team mix outside of those top four that has a pretty legit argument of being in that five spot.
And so, Brad, before we go, I want to talk about one more team, and that's Texas A&M. And I want to bring them up, obviously, because Jimbo Fisher has certainly made the news quite often this offseason, obviously, his big spat with with Nick Saban earlier in the offseason. They currently sit seventh. We know they had, according to 24/7 Sports, the highest ranked recruiting class last cycle. We know all the talent coming in, especially on the defensive line for them. Obviously, quarterback, still kind of a question. They brought in a couple transfers this offseason. So it'll be interesting to see what they end up doing at number seven. And look, they had a lot of trouble offensively last year. kind of carried at times by their defense. But what do you think of A&M at number seven? And do you think they could potentially make a run towards that top four and maybe even a playoff spot come year's end?
Yeah, I still think A&M is probably a year away from legitimately competing for a Final Four spot. I've got A&M finishing third behind Arkansas in the SEC West. Obviously, Alabama repeating as division champions there. And look, A&M's biggest game of the year, you know, comes against Alabama in October. But the week before that, they got to play Arkansas again at AT&T Stadium, which, in my opinion, the winner of that game is sort of a separation Saturday, so to speak, in that division. So A&M has several, you know, sort of must-win games on the schedule this season. And as Jimbo Fisher, you know, put it to us at 24/7 Sports and Media Days, you know, the SEC schedule is a constant meat grinder. And, you know, if you overlook a Mississippi State on the road, you could certainly lose in Starkville to Mike Leach in that high-powered passing game. So, you know, A&M's a team that I think is worthy of preseason, you know, top 10 merit. But, you know, inching toward that top five, I'm not a buyer in A&M stock right now.
Yeah, they'll be such an interesting team to watch, obviously, as the year goes on. And I can't believe it, Brad. The first coaches poll is out. We're almost at week zero. We're almost at week one with obviously all the big games coming up. It's really starting to feel like college football season. And with these polls being released, it just gets the juices flowing even more. And I'm really excited for it. Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you for giving your thoughts on what this first coaches poll was and for coming on and talking with us.
Thanks for having me, man. We'll have to relook at this about 4 months from now and see how wrong the coaches were at the end of the year.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see whoever put Texas number one, if they still have Texas number one when that final coaches poll comes out. Remember to like and subscribe to the new 24/7 Sports YouTube channel. Of course, so much great content coming on daily. You don't want to miss it, especially with the season coming up with week zero only a couple weeks away. And then that big packed week one coming shortly after. So for Brad Crawford, I am Lance Glenn. Thanks so much for joining us here as the first coaches poll was released. Top three of Georgia, Ohio State, and Alabama. Thanks for listening, and thanks for watching here on the 24/7 Sports YouTube channel.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.